God bless you. Is it good to be happy in the house of the Lord? Amen. You know, we choose happiness over misery. You know, there's enough to be miserable about in life. There's enough to weigh us down. And I thought, you know what? The best way for me to deal with some of the things that I'm trying to help with my family at the moment is to really step up as a Christian and say, do you know what, God? I trust you. And I know you can come through. And I know that you are great and greatly to be praised indeed. The message this morning is one that, to be fair, is, well, it's very dear to my heart. I've probably prepared about 8 pages of notes, and if you know me by now, we'll probably get beyond past page one, hopefully. But I'd like to read from the book of Revelation to you. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Revelation is a really fantastic book, and over time we'll do some Bible studies in that book that's full of symbols and visions that John was having about the future, and it's very powerful. But I want us to look, Revelation 1 verse 3. In fact, let's read from verse 1 actually. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is verse 3. "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." What I want us to focus on are those words. Blessed are those who hear and take to heart what is written. Just think about that phrase for a minute. Blessed are those who hear and take to heart what is written. You can go to the doctor and he can tell you exactly what to do, and here's the cure, and you know, you've got to lose weight and cut this out and cut that out and cut out too much salt and stop eating chocolate. And you know, there's certain steps you can do to be healthy, but if you don't listen to the doctor and you get sick, it's not the doctor's fault. And there's only so many times that God can actually say to us, this is what is healthy for you. Whether you're 16 or 60, the principles of the Bible and the teaching of Scripture are clear. These things are written to help us to walk victoriously as Christians, to be overcomers and not to be under the problem all the time. You know, quite often you'll hear someone say the phrase, how are you doing? And the person will say, I'm fine under the circumstances, thank you. But the problem is, we always say that we're under the circumstances. Maybe we should say, I'm fine, thanks, and I'm getting over the circumstances. I love the picture in Genesis where it talks about, you know, the serpent being under Jesus' foot, underneath. And Jesus said, you know, when you cast out devils and you address the demonic, he said, you'll have authority over these things. I've seen throughout my family history, and some of you know that my family were pretty bonkers, or into black magic and spiritualism and faith healing. And I grew up with that whole, I don't know where to begin really, other than would tell you stories, and I won't this morning. But it was bonkers. And I saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. And half of it was absolute tosh. And half of it was very demonic and very dark. And one thing that I realized as a young man, when we had a kind of a seance in our house, was when things were going awry, I was going to say, when things were really going bad, my dad came back in the room with a blue book and put it in the hand of this woman who was having some severe problems in my lounge. I was 16 years old and going, oh gosh, here we go again. My sister was crying. The woman hit the roof. She screamed. She said, "What? Get it away from me. It's not my dad." I won't go into massive details. I thought, what is it about this book that my dad put in this woman's hand that caused this demonic thing to manifest? And I was 16 years old and we weren't Christians at all. I never taught the Bible. But my dad had put a Bible in that lady's hands. And I remember from a young age thinking, what is it about the Bible which uncovered something, which made something manifest? And the Bible is the word of God. It's spoken through earthen vessels like you and I. And it's God's heart sharing with us. So when the scripture says, you're blessed if you read the words of the prophecy, but you're blessed if you hear and take to heart what's written. I think I mentioned probably some time ago, I wonder how many sermons you've listened to in a lifetime. Can you imagine? How many folk have been here, have been going to church for more than 50 years, 40, 50 years? Wow. You guys should be spiritual whiz kids. You should be like the Incredible Hulk. You should be treading on scorpions and crushing snakes' heads everywhere you go. But life isn't like that. Because, like the Bible says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We are weak, but he is strong. And sometimes I feel like saying, enough is enough. We either live the Christian life and stop playing church or being a little bit religious or saying the odd prayer, and we step up and say, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, do what you will in my life and give me the authority and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to literally find your purposes for my life. Teach me now how to overcome. Look at Peter when the storms were raging around the boat. Not the time when Jesus was asleep in it, but the winds were crashing about, and they look out and they see what they think is a ghost walking towards the boat, and they're terrified. What's that? And all of a sudden, this figure becomes closer and closer, and they realize it's Jesus. Peter's astonished. He said, Lord, if that's you, just tell me to step out of the boat. If you can walk on the water, you tell. And Jesus said, come, Peter. And Peter's got his eyes on Jesus, and he steps out, and all of a sudden, he's walking in the authority of Christ, and he's finding that contrary to the laws of nature, the law of God trumps it. Jesus said to the storm, be still. And it didn't go, I'll have a think about it. It obeyed the voice of God. And we have situations in our life, people struggling, family members around us, and we need to speak into those situations as Christians and declare what we believe and what we are standing on. As you know the story, when Peter started to take his eyes off the Lord and consider what he was actually doing, oh my gosh, and he became consumed and he started to sink. This is a strong fisherman, yeah? It was a proper storm, and the Lord reached out his hand and pulled him up. What a lesson that is for us, that we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. When we're going through a storm, whether that be a loved one who's struggling with an illness, whether it be ourselves, whether it be all manner of problems, we need to get a hold of Jesus. You know, you read the Old Testament, it talks about Jacob wrestling with an angel. Sometimes I think we need to get a hold of God so that he can get a hold of us. And stop being so passive about our faith. Sometimes we're so passive. They need a bit of oomph. We need to be courageous. In Revelation 12, verse 11, this is a fantastic truth. Revelation 12, 11, it says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Revelation 12, 11. This is really important because there are two things that I want you to remember from this. They overcome the devil by two things. Firstly, the blood of Jesus Christ. The first basis for us having any authority of receiving the kind of power and strength we need for a Christian life is first derived from the fact that we are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are forgiven. Do you know the Bible? What does the Bible call Satan? He's the accuser. Yeah, he's the accuser of the saints. He's the accuser of the brethren. Jesus said he's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. We are living in a world that is influenced and affected by the demonic more than we care to admit or realize. We are in a spiritual battle. If you think of the old signals, you remember the old analog signals on your house and used to pick up the airwaves to get your signal through your TV. I tell you, friends, we're either receiving something worldly or we're receiving something heavenly. What are we tuning into? What are we broadcasting? What are we receiving? What are we downloading? Because in this day and age, we must be strong in the Lord. If not for ourselves, for the people around us. We must be courageous. So it says that these believers, they overcome Satan because the fact that Christ has already died for them. They've won the battle. Or say, they've won the war, should I say. But there are battles that go on. So the thing where it talks about overcoming Satan by the blood of the Lamb, that's talking about the final picture. The war has been won. One day, we shall see face to face, we shall see the Lord, and we'll see that he is put to death, sin and hell and everything. But there's another thing that we overcome Satan by, and this is the journey, and it says, the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony? Think about it for a minute. Is it just, you know, standing up at the front of the church and say, in 1976, I went to church and I met Aunt Nellie, and Aunt Nellie told me about Jesus, and I loved the Sunday school, and, you know, I've always done the flowers in church, and, I'm a churchgoer. That ain't going to tread on an ant. What is the word of our testimony as a believer? Come on, friends. Come on. What is the word of our testimony? Okay, how we're walking out our faith, that's important. So if we've been washed in the blood of Christ, what's the evidence of it? Yes, Nick. Wow, yeah. Yeah, so the word of our testimony, there's an active aspect to it. Okay, how we reflect the Lord, okay. But I'm thinking a bit more about that key word, the word. June? So it's helping people to see the journey, the part of the journey and how the Lord has helped us. That's another aspect of it. But the word of our testimony, friends, also involves this. That's why I printed this off this morning. The word of God has to become your testimony. So all these answers that you've shared are all correct. But friends, we would be far more mighty in God and walking closer to the Lord if we digest some of these truths and really start, I don't mean confessing them like we're robots that, you know, you have to do some mantra in the morning. I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, blah, 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 blah. Amen. I've done my prayers. That's nonsense. It's not chanting or mantras or anything like that that gets us closer to God. It's allowing the word of God to find a home in us so that we can speak up as a Christian and speak faith into a situation. We'll look at these notes in a second. I haven't got off the first paragraph yet. I've written here, do you know if we don't recognize that we're in a spiritual war, we will be enslaved by all kinds of things because we won't know what we are fighting against. We only won certain battles in World War I and World War II because of the information that was passed down the line and how they acted on that information. And you hear some amazing stories about certainly World War II, amazing stories, cunning plans and tricks and how they sort of, you know, created different, they made things that looked like tanks and, you know, they fought the enemy and they tried all these different tactics. What's that amazing story where they flew a man over the, I can't remember what sea it was. On the, I think it was France. His body washed up on the French shore. It was a man who'd already died, but they dressed him in a soldier's uniform, and he had a briefcase, with war plans. False plans. And the idea was to send false information to the enemy and that they would act on it. And they actually did act upon false information. But it took months and months of planning to get it right. In other words, because of the challenge ahead of them, they had to think very carefully about how they were going to deal with this problem. If we go back to Revelation 1:3 and what I read earlier, it said, blessed are those who hear, blessed are those who read, but then it said, blessed are those who take to heart what's written. If you take something to heart, it means that you are allowing it to be absorbed in your life. You are reflecting on that truth. And you can come to church for the rest of your life, and if you never digest and reflect, you will not grow. In fact, I think there are many people in churches who are inoculated against the Holy Spirit because they go to church. Because they've not digested for so long. They've got used to such a poor experience of church that they've settled for nothing. They've settled for so little of God. And they think, well, that's all church is. And, you know, I do my religious duty. And as a result of expecting so little from God, is it no wonder that they don't really reflect much of him? They look miserable as sin. We have an opportunity to live a life that is full of the Lord's love and his power and his glory. We've got an opportunity to find what God's dreams are for us and live them. The Apostle Paul said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The Bible makes it clear, Satan and his demonic host, and there are millions of fallen angels that affect the whole of our world. They want to destroy our testimony. They want to rob you of peace. They want to disarm you and take away the word of God from you. Jesus said, you know, it is written. We don't realize the power that's in the word of God. I tell you, things that I've grown up with and seeing the authority of Jesus Christ overrule certain things. It's just incredible what I've seen. Without going into detail, my parents are going through a terrible situation at the moment. Horrendous. That's why I'm going down next week. I couldn't make it up in a fiction book. But I know who my Redeemer is. And he will give us the victory. He will empower us. He will help us. I'm not going to let Satan steal the truth of what God wants for me and my family and the truth about my life. I'm going to find out what God's promises are. And I'm going to say, yes, please, and amen. And I'm going to have a big, fat, Bible juicy steak. I'm going to marinate it in prayer, marinate it in reflection, and I'm going to cook it up and I'm going to eat it every day. Because I have to. Who wants to walk around with a great big fat cloud over their head? Woe is me. Times are hard. This problem. That problem. No. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Jesus said, take heart. He said, I have overcome the world. We're living in an age where people want to deny that they might be the real cause of any problem. It's always someone else's problem. It's the government. It's someone in the family. It's always someone else. Some people will always want to be right. They're never wrong. They're never wrong. If we deny the truth of the Bible, then all we're doing is weakening our witness and weakening ourselves. I read a story to you. a man was brought before the court for murder in Los Angeles about 70 years ago. It's a true story. And the case against this man looked pretty good. But his lawyer thought of an ingenious ploy to try and get him off the hook. In summing up his speech, the lawyer said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must find my client not guilty of murder if there is the slightest doubt in your minds that he is the murderer. And now I have one final witness. The true murderer is about to walk through the door." All eyes swung towards the door, but nobody came in. "You see," the lawyer continued, "there is doubt in your minds about my client's guilt. Otherwise, you would have not looked towards the door." Ooh, cunning plan. The jury retired to deliberate and came back after an hour with a guilty verdict. He didn't get away with it. The lawyer was beside himself. And before the judge could pass sentence, he sprung up and said, "But I proved beyond doubt that you had a doubt about my client's guilt." And a shrewd old man in the jury stood up and said this. This is brilliant, this. Shall I tell you what it is? I'll tell you next week, shall I? He said, "As everyone looked towards the door, I watched your client's eyes. He didn't look towards the door because he knew no one was coming through. Why? Because he was the guilty one. He didn't bother looking because he knew he was the guilty one." People make excuse for sin and they refuse to repent. And that's part of the problem. We become enslaved. We become enslaved to sin. In 1951, a professor, James Stewart, was a key speaker at Yale University. And as he preached on the cross, he said this, "I fear that as Charles Darwin has banished the Creator God, Freud will see to it that we replace spiritual warfare with phobias and with psychological jargon." Oh, yeah. We've got AD, BHC, ADH, EFG. We've got all the letters of the alphabet and every possible thing to diagnose something that we're not dealing with. And it's sin. I'm not saying that there aren't children that don't have difficulties and there aren't parents, and fair enough, maybe that you should have some letters after your name. But we have to become responsible. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. If we do something we know it's sin, we can't expect to have any victory in our faith whatsoever. We shouldn't let Satan steal our testimony. Someone said this, billions of pounds are spent every year worldwide on antidepressants. We take pills to help us to go to sleep, pills to wake us up, we take a pill to help us get through the day. Not wrong with pills, but don't just take a pill. Take a tonic. Get the word of God in your spirit and let God's word do its work. Lift up your eyes and let's see what God can do and not just what pills can do. Amen? In Luke 10, verse 17 to 20, Jesus sent out disciples to go and preach the good news about the kingdom of God. And it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Even people that were influenced, affected, the mentally ill, the physically ill, there were demonic manifestations. When they went and preached the gospel, that would have been quite a picture, wouldn't it? Demons screeching and different things going on. And the disciples said, "Wow, we went to preach your message, Lord, and there's like demons coming out of people. There's people getting well." And this is what Jesus said. This is brilliant. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Hooray! Good. Horrible person that he is. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And then he said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This goes back to what I preached in Revelation a minute ago, the verse I read. How do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, our life, how we have got hold of the word of God. Jesus said, don't rejoice that demons are coming out because it's you, Super Lynn, Super Freddy. No, don't rejoice that somehow you have become powerful, that you've got authority. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, rejoice that the blood of Christ covers your sin. Rejoice that the blood of the Lamb is helping you overcome, because you can actually walk in the flames of all Satan's accusations and all the things that you've ever done wrong. And Satan can say, that's Simon, and he's done this and he's done that and he's done this and he was terrible when he did this. And God will say, I'm not interested, because Jesus died for his sin. And I love Simon, and he's washed it in my blood. And he's walking in the truth. And it's the same for each one of us as Christians. If we're passive about our faith, we're not demonstrating anything. We're like going into a war with like a pop gun. This is dead basic stuff, but it's so important. I'm halfway down page one, just to encourage you. You know, the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Yeah? You've seen in the cartoons and the films, there he is, funny looking fella with funny horns and a pitchfork and, you know. Actually, the Bible says completely the opposite. The Bible says that he is able to manifest in whatever way he chooses. He's an angelic being. And he masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, as something really good. Something spiritual. Something beautiful. But something opposite to the gospel. There are things in this life that appear good on the outside. Some self-help things. Some weird meditation things. Something that looks good. That might even taste good. Until it gets bitter in your spirit, because it ain't God. Satan masquerades in all kinds of false religion and lies. And I love it that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There was no struggle when God kicked him out. No, you know, he went to the 12th round and they were slogging it out. Bang. Away from me. When God says a thing, it's done. Satan wants you to live at an impoverished level as a Christian, so that the joy of the Lord is absent. You have to rediscover the joy of your salvation. We sing songs about it. Huh? I shouldn't need to whip you up when we're about to sing a song. I should have to calm you down. It's an exaggeration, but we come to worship the living God. We haven't come to do church. Oh, I'd feel better if there was a massive choir and there was like 1,000 of us, and I'd feel really inspired then. Well, then your inspiration's in the wrong place. Can't get a bigger person to worship. Can't get a more glorious person to worship. What's the difference whether you're in a small hall with 10 of us or in a rousing theatre with 50,000 people? I'm sure the experience would be amazing, but this is about your worship and about mine. Do you remember the bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? That's a cool bumper sticker, that. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It is written. I wanted to preach on, I think it's Matthew 4, when Jesus was in the desert. The desert, according to Freddie. Because it says, in an understatement of the year, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was like, and Satan comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, If you are, I'm preaching, Freddie. Can you wait till the end? What is it? Would you want to speak? Oh, you want to come and tell us, what does it say?
It says, turn this rock into
bread. Well done. He said, Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, if, I doubt this Jesus of Nazareth is the real deal, but if you are, tell this stone to become bread, because you're starving. God doesn't let his people starve. And also, God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness by sending them manna from heaven. So if you're the Son of God, in the same way that God provided for his children in the wilderness, he'll provide for you. So Satan was so cunning and clever. Well, if God's your father, then he will provide bread, because he did it for the Israelites for 40 years. Surely he wouldn't treat you any less. And what did Jesus say? Is it your turn again? Come here then. What did Jesus say?
Man shall not live on bread alone.
Yeah, well done. But what did he go on to say? That by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That bit's good. Well done. Half a point. Do you get what I'm saying? Man doesn't live just on his physical needs. But Jesus said he lives by the spoken word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's true life. This flesh is going to die. This body's going to die. This body that needs bread is going to die. I love bread. It's going to die. But the real spiritual man is going to live because of God's word. Talk about, take that, Satan. But Satan still didn't give up, did he? What else did he say? I haven't got the Bible open here, looking at it. But do you remember? What else did he say? What's the next? No, Freddie, someone else. Do you remember? Yeah. Don't put the Lord thy God to the test. Satan actually had the audacity and the gall to say, is it not written that he shall command his angels concerning you to guard you so that your foot wouldn't even dash against the stone? So if you're the Son of God, cast yourself off here. Because obviously you're on a mission. God's not going to allow that mission to fail, is he? If he's your father and it is written, the angels will look after you. So if you're the Son of God, go on, off you go. Jesus said it's simple. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Walk, just trust him. You don't always need a fleece, a sign from God. Lord, I need 24 signs before I'll stop doing this wrong thing. Quite often, as Christians, we know what to do. We just need to get on with it. Jesus said, don't put the Lord thy God to the test. And this last thing, the last challenge was this. He took him to a high place, like Nick said, and he showed him the kingdoms of the earth. Satan knows that this is about the rule and the reign of Christ. Jesus has come to defeat sin and to take and establish himself and his God as having authority even over sin and death and hell. And Satan knows that. So he takes him to a high place and he shows him all the kingdoms of this world. And he says, look, let me just make this easier for you. Forget the cross. It's terrible. It's awful. Have you seen what's going to happen to you? Have you read the Psalms? You're going to be beaten and butchered. They're going to rip the beard off your face. You're going to be rejected and flogged. You're going to be nailed. You're going to be butchered. People are going to hate you. They're going to curse your name. In other words, forget all that. Let me just give you the kingdoms now. If you just give obeisance, worship to me. Let's just keep it simple now, Lord. You can, if you are Lord, let's just assume that you are, you can have the kingdoms now. Just switch your allegiance. Because the result will be the same. You can reign and rule in your kingdom. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, serve the Lord your God only, and only him should you serve. Now he told him to get lost, and he did. It said, Satan left him. When Jesus says, away from me, Satan, Satan doesn't go, well, hang on a minute, I've just got another word to say. He's gone. Because it is written. And there are things in our life when we're struggling that in prayer we need to confess. And confess the name of Jesus Christ in a situation. You know, in the book of, I'm not sure it's Jude, in the scriptures it says that even the archangel Michael dare not rebuke Satan. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Even the archangel Michael, as powerful as he is as a spiritual being, said that it's the Lord Jesus' name that will rebuke you, not my authority. So as a Christian, it's not like we have our own authority. We have the Lord's authority. And we can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, over my family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare I am a child of God. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. That's why I gave you those notes. 3 pages worth. We'll spend maybe 5 minutes on each little point this morning. And then we'll get a takeaway delivered for 6 o'clock. But just have a look at some of these as we close. Because obviously it's midday now. These are the kind of things that you need to get in your spirit as a Christian. I am a child of God. I am the light of the world. I have eternal life. I have been given peace. I am clean. I'm Christ's friend. I've been chosen and appointed by Christ to bear fruit. I've been given glory. I've been justified. I'm a slave of righteousness. I'm free from sin and slave to God. I'm free from condemnation. God's my Father. I'm a joy. You know, I could go on and on and on. And the list is bigger than this, the promises of God. But go away, and this is your homework for this week. And I never give you homework, but you're getting homework this week. Go and learn what the scripture says about you. Amen? Amen? Go and digest it. And if you're unsure about any of it, talk to me. Or ask Mark, he's pretty clever. Ask questions, and that's how you grow. So that's your homework. Please spend some time thinking about what the Bible says about you. Because this is about benefiting you and helping you to shine for the Lord. Some of you are in difficult situations. It's a mess. We better start declaring God over the situation. Honestly, we're too passive. Oh, is that what you do? Well, how are you going to step out in faith? How are you going to receive God's answer for that prayer? If you don't stand on the word, don't tell me you're fine under the circumstances. Tell me you're getting over them. And this is some of the truth, how you'll get over them. Put the past aside. Don't let the past influence your future now. Yeah? Whatever we've done in the past, it's under the blood of Jesus. We want a new start, a new life, a new joy, a new peace. Amen?